Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us tonight. We got a good one going for you. Praise Yahweh. We're going to speak on the two brazen pillars in the temple and its symbology, what it means to the functioning of the temple today. Remember, you are the temple of Yahweh. And if you would actually draw a diagram of the temple that was built and constructed by Yahweh, it is the complete outline of the human body, the physical body. Now, within the framework of the physical, we have the mental and the spiritual. So all those aspects will be covered tonight within the temple functioning and the two great pillars that were named Jachin and Boaz. Now, these two are very significant. Let me give you the meaning in the Hebrew. For Jachin and Boaz. Jachin means he shall establish in Hebrew, while Boaz means in him is strength. So then he shall establish by his strength. That was Christ. That was the two witnesses that were standing as witnesses of the law and the prophets. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Moses wrote of Christ and said that there shall arise a prophet like myself, and you shall hear him, and if you refuse to hear him, you shall be cut off. So the judgment of the temple is in the act of being judged tonight. Praise Yahweh. And for judgment, he came into the world. Remember, you are the temple, and the Bible says in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians that he that defiles the temple shall be destroyed. Now, our Heavenly Father doesn't want to destroy anyone, especially his children, Israel. He is not a destroyer. He is a savior. And that's why that Christ came, who is over all, and he came as a standing pillar of support for the foundation. And the Bible said, no other foundation can a man lay than that which is laid, and that is Christ. Praise Yahweh. So then, let's go back and look at it as we go to 1 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to into 2 Chronicles chapter 3. These are the reference scriptures we'll use tonight, chapter 7 of 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles chapter 3. We will discuss the particulars, the symbology, the placement of the two pillars, and what they were to hold up. They held up, if you will, the porch that overhung the temple. Now, this is very important, for the porch is where that the apostolic fathers were hanging out on the day of Pentecost when they went to the upper room in the upper chamber, and the Bible said they were on Solomon's porch in their worship in Acts chapter 2. Praise Yahweh. Now, what does that porch mean? It means between the inside of the temple, somewhere outside. Remember, the outer court is there, and the outer court was for the 10 tribes of Israel. Praise Yahweh. And we will talk about that just in a moment. Now, again, one of these temples, or one of these pillars, represents the tribe of Judah. And the other pillar is representative of the 10 northern tribes. Well, we have the house of Israel, represented by the sons of Ephraim, called the house of Ephraim, and the house of Judah. And the Bible prophesied that there would become one central pillar as the unification or the rejoining of the two sticks that would become one. Now that one stick is now Christ in you, the hope of glory. We'll talk about that tonight. And let's go to the pillars that were made of bright or scoured brass. Brass speaks of, again, divine judgment or judgment against sin. Now, Christ come to put an end to sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Isn't that wonderful? That God, the Almighty, brought in a Savior, Christ, in you, the hope of glory. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And so then, if you weren't his sheep in the beginning, it's evident that you won't be his sheep in the end. If your name was not on the Lamb's book in the beginning, it probably won't be there in the end. Why? Because he said, all my sheep will hear my voice, and those that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Now then, the message is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that is in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, and in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, he lets us know that he, the pillar, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the significance of the wages of sin is death, the Bible said. And so the made brass pillars to speak of divine judgment. A time of judgment. Now, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, talks about divine judgment. I saw the dead stand before God, and the books were opened. What book is that, ladies and gentlemen? It doesn't say book, but books. Now, there are 66 books that are compiled in the King James Bible. They were 72 books in the original King James Bible. 66 and 12 is 78 books. So there were 78 to start with, and they reduced it to 66 when they took the 12 books out that they didn't judge deemed necessary for salvation or for any revelation. So therefore, if you want to look at the other 12 books that they cut out around 1700 and thereabouts, out of the 1611 Bible, they removed these 12 books and they're no longer in. They're in the Catholic version and other versions as well, particularly in the Catholic. It's one of the most noted where you can find the lost books of the Bible. Now, these, again, are the Old and New Testament, or the parchment, as we like to call them, and these are the witnesses of the two pillars, symbolic of the two brazen pillars, and that's where you get judgment. As I said, judgment must begin, again, at the house of God. Believers that experience, as Yahweh deals with sin and selfishness that is locked in our hearts, foolishness is bound in a child, but a rod will drive it from him. And if we spare the rod, then we spoil the child. So Christ, as a shepherd over his own flock with the hook, king hook that he has, the shepherd's staff as we call it, is the reaching out to cradle or to crook the sheep into the fold. And the Bible speaks about being made fishermen of men. Now, the number two is significant, again, of witnesses, and the testimony of two is required by the Old and the New Testament, according to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 6, and then in 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. It will give you a double witness that two witnesses, at least two witnesses, are required. Now, Christ spoke of, he said, I bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Therefore, the testimony of two men is true, or the two witnesses. God and Christ And now you, these two pillars, are standing like two witnesses on the porch at the entrance of a temple. And these could be represented by the very legs of the human body. These are the temple pillars that hold up the physical body that the spiritual man is carried forth in the flesh body. Now at death, these two must separate. And we have, then Christ takes his long flight. Christ in us, the hope of glory, goes back to the Father, just like he ascended back to the Father after his resurrection. And so then we shall be likened unto him as we ascend back on the law and the testimony. Now the Bible says, he that saith he loves God and will not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth ain't in him. There is some things that Christians must do, and it's not a piece of cake or a cakewalk into the kingdom, as some Christian churches then make it very appealing to come and confess Christ, sign a little card of Christianity, and go to the church of your choice, and whatever you are, be a good one. It's a little bit more complicated, ladies and gentlemen. It is not that simple. I have said this many, many times and say it again tonight, that heaven is cheap at any price. What must I do to be saved? That's the question. What are the two witnesses made of brass? It is the old witness of the Old Testament and the new witness of the new. Both of them address commandment keeping. Both of them say that if a man loves God, he will keep his commandments. And if a man says he does love God and keeps them not, he's a liar. So then the commandments are a witness either for you or against you. Now the first commandment is in Mark 12:29. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you really love God in such a manner? Have you really paid the price? Have you really found out what his commandments are? 99% of professing Christians cannot quote the First Commandment. And ladies and gentlemen, something is wrong when we leave out the witnesses of the pillars of his testimony. Now, there is a strange fact that is noted in the Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks about, as he deals with the suffering and the chastisement, every son that he receives a chastisement. And as it says in Romans 12:1, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Isn't it strange that we have been dumbed down to think, or to be made to think, that all we got to do is place our name upon a church membership role somewhere, and that then we are secure, and then the rest of the time we can pursue the rest of the time the world? Ladies and gentlemen, he that loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You've got to have these two witnesses within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. So the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ is the same Spirit. Now, let's look at point number three, the hollow pillars. In Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 20, it shows that these brazen pillars were hollow. And the thickness was of the thickness of a hand or four fingers. Now, what does the hollow pillows, what do they symbolize? It means that the body of man without Christ is hollow. But to be filled with the Spirit is life and peace. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. So then, the body, the temple, of man is symbolic of the two pillars. They're hollow. There has to be a infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that's why that they were hollow, to symbolize that Christ would have to indwell within the body. It is a place of the inward temple, or the temple of the Most Holy. Now, the height of the pillars was 18 cubits. Elijah done 18 miracles, or 17, and Elisha did 18, which is complete, together being 46 cubits. Each allowed a cubit on each pillar for the crupier that fitted on each. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, we find that it had an ornamentation about it, meaning that it was surrounded with a work of art. And this symbolizes the beauty of Christ, or the crown. Upon the pillar of man, the crown. And there is a crown laid up for all them that love his appearing. Would you really like to see Christ come tonight? Would it delight you? You say, oh yes, I'd get out all of this trouble. You may be in a heap of trouble. Your troubles may just really be beginning. Have you made your election and calling sure? Are you sure that your sins have found you out? Are you sure that you're on good speaking terms with the Father? Are you sure you know his name? Are you sure you're acquainted with him? That you could go in and sup with him and he with you? That you could break bread with him and he could invite you to the supper? Remember, there were beings that did not have on a proper wedding garment, and they were bound hand and foot and cast out because they were unauthorized to enter in. Are you sure that you have paid the supreme price? Have you gone the extra mile of the way? You know, today preachers will say, oh, you don't have to be a fanatic, Pastor Buddy, to get into the kingdom of God. You're just one of those that believes in fanaticism. Yes, I do. I believe. I am a fanatic. You know, we've got Beatle fans, Elvis fans, country fans, rock fans, all kinds of fans, and they're addicts. We've got Hollywood fans. I mean, most men and women can't wait to see the beautiful stars and to catch up with the latest gossip. The pulp magazines, I call them, that they pump out all this filthy trash, gossip, rumors, all this stuff, and people pay $1 a piece for these to read the latest results of the stars, and they won't give a man $1 to support and preach the gospel. Isn't there something wrong with our values today? Aren't we putting our emphasis where they shouldn't be? Are we loving the world instead of loving Yahweh with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? You can tell a tree by its fruit, ladies and gentlemen, and you can tell a nation by its fruits, and this nation is in a heap of trouble. 18 is a multiple of 9, being the number of completeness and finality. It is also the number of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Thus the pillars speak of that which is completed, and that which is final as to the outer court ministry and the final step before entering into Yahweh's house. In other words, you can rest assured that everything is in order before you step before the presence of the Divine One to be examined, that you're on a solid foundation. Now, the compass of the pillars was, get this, 12 cubits. The number 12 is the number of divine government or apostolic completeness. The number 10 is an end time number, as is the number 11 and the number 13. 11 is one short of 12, while 13 is one beyond. 11 is the number of lawlessness and of the Antichrist spirit, while 13 is the number of rebellion or scattered. 12 is the number of God's government being seen in the city of God, the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21, where everything is according to God's order, God's law, and God's government. So then, you are complete in Him, and the number 12 is the final number. Now, the captors, the pillars, had these caps or crowns, as I have mentioned, and the pillars in the outer court of Moses' tabernacle had crowns of silver, as did the five pillars of the tabernacle door, according to Exodus chapter 36. The crowns speak of that which is kingly. Christ is crowned with honor and glory, and all his sons who become princes and are ordained as kings are subject or worthy to wear crowns. The Bible speaks of that the saints will receive crowns when their earthly ministry is completed. According to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, there is a crown laid up for all them that love the appearing of Christ. Now, if he's got a crown and there's one laid up for you, that makes you a king and a priest. If you refuse to walk worthy of knighthood or kingship and fail to enter into his glory and into his presence, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, James 1 and 12, and Revelations 2 and 10, and 1 Peter 5 and 4, gives you the effects of crowned sainthood. These crowns were 5 cubits high, and 5 being the divine measurement of grace. According to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 16, 3 cubits according to 2 Kings 25, 17, and the fact that these were 3 cubits and the bowls that were set in them would make up the other 2 cubits, making the total 5 cubits. And 5 is a number, again, of grace and the number of life and the number of atonement. And these pillars symbolically spoke of all who had entered into the house of Yahweh. They entered by grace. They entered with life eternal, and they entered through the atonement of his blood made sufficient and made worthy to wear the crown. Now, the pommels in 2 Chronicles chapter 4 speaks of the two pillars and the two bowls of the captives that were on top of the two pillars, and they were also called pommels. These were simply a round bowl for the captives, and that represents, again, the crowns that are laid up for the righteous that run for the prize and exalt themselves to the throne worthy to sit with him in heavenly places. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 17, it speaks of the nets of checkerwork. Nets of checkerwork. It seems that these two bowl-like networks on top of the pillars were set, and these nets of checkerwork were on top of these bowls. The net in Scripture reminds us of Christ's call to his disciples to become fishers of men and to touch men with the gospel, according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Pastor Buddy, the shepherd's call, we're talking about the two pillars and the place in the temple for you. We're coming back in 2. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you in here tonight. Praise Yahweh. Now, last night we got on the 8th day Sabbath, and we had a lot of interesting comments on the 8th day Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, there has been a deliberate confusion of false placed in man's mind by the evil ones. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. If you need strength to stand the test of time, if you're weary and you need rest, then you need to begin to keep the Holy Sabbath according to the time plan on God's great master plan. And the eighth day was the Sabbath that he chose. Now, Adam was an eighth-day man. I'm talking about the second Adam, or the first earthly Adam. He was the eighth-day man. For him was made an eighth-day formula to give him rest. And the Bible said, take heed, lest any of you having an unbelieving heart fail to enter into his rest. Are you sure you're keeping the commandments? Are you sure that you're doing everything within your power to please God? Are you sure you're going to make heaven your home? Or are you going to be the many that go on the Broadway that have been deceived through neglect of proper teaching? You see, you'll pay for a new car, but you wouldn't pay anything for the truth of the gospel. You'll go out and work your fingers to the bone to pay off interest on large loans, lifetime loans, but you wouldn't give 5 cents for revelation truth to go to heaven. My question to you, if you gained the whole earth and lost your soul, what would you give in exchange? And if you don't keep those things which are pleasing to Yahweh and do those things which are pleasing inside, you can't go to heaven. If you couldn't please him here, you wouldn't be pleasing him over there. If you don't serve him over here, you ain't going to serve him over there. If you don't honor him here, you wouldn't honor him there. These temples and these pillars are for the work of perfection. Now, the wreath of chain work were adorned the two pillars according to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 17. Each kaphir had seven wreathen chains. Seven, as it has been seen, is the number of perfection, completeness. And so these two pillars had the numbers 5, 3, 12, and 7 stamped upon them in the divine pattern that Yahweh chose. 7 is the number of end times or completeness and the number of the book of Revelations. Now, let's look at the position of the pillars. That's very important. These two pillars were before the temple and placed in the porch of the temple, one on the right and the other on the left. They looked toward the brazen sea and the brazen altar and the priests and worshipers in the courts of Yahweh. Christ is speaking of the position of his right hand and his left hand being reserved for whom the Father has chosen. They would be like the two pillars on the porch. They stood there as sentinels, as two guards to the house of Yahweh, where no one unqualified or undeserving shall participate or enter in. Are you sure that you know Christ? Now, let me show you some of the work, the engraving work. Show you something amazing here. Have you ever read in the Bible about the lily of the valley? Have you ever read in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 28? I spoke about this the other night. It speaks of the loveliness of the purity and the fragrance of the lily. And the fact that Solomon in all his beauty and glory was not arrayed like a lily, and yet it toils not. It just pops up. And the word lily in Hebrew is whiteness. I'll repeat that. The word lily in Hebrew is whiteness. Also, it is in a trumpet as it is spun in its tuber shape, meaning that the whiteness of Christ that calls out to his children. The purity, the witness. So Christ is absolute white, perfect purity within and without. His saints are to be like the lily also. They also shall lift their voice like a trumpet as the lily and warn the people according to Isaiah 58:1. Isn't it amazing that Yahweh will send the trumpeters, that's the prophets of the white race, and they will preach the everlasting gospel to the lilies of the valley, to the bright and the morning stars that sing together in triumph glory, as it is noted in Revelation 1:14, his head and his hair was white. And so then, lily in Hebrew means white, as the trumpet shape of the lily spins in all of its glory. And we call them morning glories up here. And ladies and gentlemen, they'll spring up overnight. They're an amazing little flower. They're beautiful. They have some of the most amazing color schemes upon them. The purple, the white, the red. The perfect color of Israel. And the temple colors, as it is noted in Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, he shall establish, and in him is strength. That is the name of the two pillars. And of course, you know, in respect to the Knight Templars, who ordain their men and women into the Masonic order, they use these temples as symbols, along with the iron key that they use in the divine mysteries. And so they, pretty smart folks. The final mention of these pillars, now here's the sadness of man. It represents the number 666, man, mentions these final pillars of the temple. When the king of Babylon came against Jerusalem and the temple of God and destroyed these beautiful pillars, taking them and cutting them up as scrap metal back to Babylon, as it is noted in 2 Kings chapter 25, when Nebuchadnezzar sent forth at the command of Yahweh. See, it was Yahweh that built this divine pattern glory and gave it to his people. And they missed the mark. They couldn't comprehend that God wanted a resting place among his people to dwell in the flesh. That God's eternal temple would ultimately be not of mortar and stone, but of flesh and blood. That Christ would come as the standing pillar in the last day and lift his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that he would rule in the kingdom. And in that day, there will be power over all of the earth administered in all the kingdoms, given back to its rightful owner, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, isn't that amazing, praise Yahweh, that the significance of the pillars, there were 60 pillars, it speaks of stability, and yet the outer or the earthly temple fell. It speaks of righteousness, and yet the outward temple fell to Babylon. It speaks of the solidarity and the work of Yahweh, and yet the sheep are scattered. It speaks of faithfulness to which Israel was unfaithful. And therefore, Yahweh drove them out of the land and scattered them. And as there were 60 pillars in the outer court of Moses and the tabernacle that he lifted up, these upheld the fine linen cloth and the wall around Yahweh's temple. 60 pillars. 6 times 10. 6 the number of man and 10 the number of holiness or oneness. These pillars stood in sockets of brass, crowned with silver caps and joined together with silver rods and with the linen curtains hanging on them, according to Exodus chapter 27. 4 of these pillars were specifically and specially chosen for the court gate with its special colors, again, of blue, purple, and scarlet. The perfect colors displayed in the lily. Isn't it wonderful that those beautiful colored rings on that beautiful white lily that springs up overnight? He's pictured as having legs as pillars of marble, according to the Song of Solomon, as he sung his glory. And in Revelation chapter 10, John saw his 2 legs as pillars of brass. Jeremiah the prophet was made an iron pillar and a brazen wall in the midst of the people that he was sent to, according to Jeremiah 1:18. A type of Christ. Peter, James, and John were displayed, recognized as pillars in the church at Jerusalem, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. The church is the pillar and the support of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. The promise of the overcomer is that he would be a pillar in the temple of God, Revelations 3 and 12. Solomon's 60 valiant men were likened to pillars, according to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Heathen and adulterous temples had their various pillars dedicated given to men and their gods, often inscribed with the names, all were counterfeit, but the temple that Yahweh chose, a temple not of mortar and stone, because God does not dwell in temples made by hands, but is now inscribed his name and stamped his approval upon every temple that he comes to. And Yahweh, whom you shall seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. You are the temple of Yahweh, but he will not dwell in an unclean temple. Ladies and gentlemen, his name of approval must be stamped upon you through water baptism for the remission of sin. Water baptism is for the remission of sin. If you haven't had your sins removed, you're unclean and sin will not enter in. You say, oh, I thought that was foolish. I hear the preacher talking about it, but I never did pay no attention. That was foolish. Well, God chose the foolish things of preaching. His command in the New Testament was to go and to preach repentance and baptism. And that's what they've done. You say, oh, it's changed now. We don't have to do that. Glory to God, you heathen. You know, if we were allowed to, it would be a pleasure to take up a sword and cut every head off that wouldn't submit to the word of Yahweh in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, letting every word be established. As the 2 pillars, the 2 witnesses stand night and day as a testimony either for you or against you. The books is going to be opened, and out of those things that are written in the books, you shall be judged by them. They're going to find you where you live and what you've done and what you've measured up to and what you failed to measure up to when the book is opened. It's a pattern. If you haven't done it according to the pattern, if you haven't entered into his rest, you become a heathen and an idolatrous temple that God will destroy. Jacob set up a stone for a pillar and anointed it with oil, calling it Bethel, the house of God, in Genesis 28:18. And I've talked about that time after time after time, how it is still a memorial stone that Christ would come as a headship company out of the stone of Joseph, that he would be the stone shepherd that would appear in the last days by the sacrifice himself of putting away sin. by the sacrifice of his own offering and becomes a pillar that will stand the foundation of time. Aren't you glad that you know Christ? Aren't you glad that his name is upon you, that you are his workmanship, that he has engraven his name in your forehead, according to Revelation 14:1. You do have the name of Christ, Yahweh, upon you, don't you? Christ means anointed. Do you have the anointed name of Yahweh in your forehead? Have you repented? Are you water baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for the promise to you? And remember, he won't dwell in an unclean temple. You say, I feel all right. I look all right. And I think all right. You may look, think, and you might be all right. But in the eyes of God, you're still unclean. And every sacrifice he accepts has to be washed. You say, well, I'm washed in his blood, glory to God. You can't get one drop of the blood except the name that was shed, and you better get that, praise Yahweh, and you better get it quickly, because he's coming to make a short work, as we have talked about the pillars. There were two of them, brass, in the outer court. The temple measured, one on the right and one on the left. The brass speaks of judgment. The pillars were stamped with the numbers 5, 12, 7, and 9. The pillars were of divine beauty, but Babylon destroyed the pillars of the outward. That means flesh and blood will not enter in. All pertaining to them is brass. Well, you got to be gold. Are you considering to become the lily of the valley? Are you one of those white chosen ones that he is going to come back for in the last days? Christ in you is coming. The hope of glory. Praise Yahweh. Be also ready, for you know not in what hour that the Son of Man cometh. I'm Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. This is Friday, the 21st day of June. We're now entering into the summer solstice, as this is the last quarter of the spring. And we're in for another long, hot summer, as it seems. Praise Yahweh. But time is slipping away. Don't let time get by you. Because you're not promised the next breath, be also ready, as I have already indicated. Are you a pillar in the temple of God? Is his name and is his handiwork and workmanship upon you? Has he done a work in your heart by divine purposes? Are you one of his sheep called and chosen before the foundation of the world, found worthy and ready and humble enough to repent of your sins and be baptized in the great, magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, almighty name of Yahweh for the remission of sins? That's a simple plan. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, if you'd like to comment tonight, call me at area code 423-626-2172. I'll talk to you after the show. Area code 423-626-2172 is the number for you to call. I'll be right here in the studios for the next couple hours. Now, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, simply address your letters to Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, let me spell it for you. N-E-W-T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, 378. 24. That's the zip. And that'll get you into our post office box here in New Tazewell. And we will send you out some information. Free and postpaid. 1-877-289-7439. We're looking for men and women that want the truth. We're looking for men and women that want to be pillars in the church of God. We are looking for men and women that want to stand up and be counted, rather than falling for the same old Judeo-Christian crap that's being preached. And ladies and gentlemen, it's so sickening to watch these seem-good do-gooders preach a seem-right way and deceive the very elect. I'm telling you, it's amazing how much power they have over the carnal mind. The carnal mind just is grown to these type ministries. But when the truth comes, only a few. I'm telling you, it's amazing how few there is that's going to find this truth and become temple in the living God. Praise Yahweh. So, Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, give me a call tonight. Let's talk about it, and let me examine you, see if you're a pillar in the temple of God, or if you'd like to be. If you'd like more information, free and postpaid, simply call me tonight. Yahweh bless you and keep you, and remember, are you a pillar in the temple of Yahweh?
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call.